Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in. Final score 25-16. The Vikings over the Jaguars in week 14. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. We'll get to Gus Bradley coming up. The first word with the head coach, Jeff Lagerman, is standing by outside of the Jaguars locker room. Field goal battle early. The Jags had a lead in this game of 16-12 and then gave up a scoring drive. Got a couple of goal line stands in the game, but in the end, Minnesota just did too much to get the win today, guys. Fred, what's up?
What do you think? Hey, all is well, man.
Yeah.
All is good. Yeah, came up short. You know, I thought the defense had some pretty decent showing out there. You know, the goal line stops there. I thought those were great. The big plays, not so much.
Yeah.
So just not doing enough quite enough to get it done.
Yeah, big plays allowed and also big key penalties today. 14 right. penalties for 114 yards. Many of them extending drives. You had the roughing the punter. You had, which right there, that was maybe the key play of the whole game. Because right. even though they drove it down and the Jags had the goal line stand, took more time off the clock, put the Jags deep in their own territory, took some momentum away.
Yeah, four or five false starts today?
Yeah, five.
Five today.
I got five, yeah. And that's not I just lack of focus. I don't even want – well, I guess discipline does fall in that same category when it's lack of focus, but that shouldn't happen. I don't know. The offense, they didn't do terrible. They just didn't do enough.
Let's go outside of the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Gus Bradley. Jeff.
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, you guys end up taking the lead in the second half, 16-12. And, boy, a series of special teams miscues certainly didn't help the cause.
No, it didn't. You know what? We knew they're a really good special teams unit. We had to stand up to it. Good returners. And, we just didn't come out as strongly as we wanted to in that area.
Defensively, also an opportunity to dictate. You guys talked earlier in the week about, the next step for this defense is to be able to dictate the outcome of a ball game, an opportunity there as well.
Yeah, we didn't get any turnover or takeaways like we'd hoped. I think we got one down the goal line. A couple goal line stands, which were big. I thought they battled, but you're right, didn't do enough to change the outcome when we had the lead.
How frustrating is it for 2 weeks, the offensive production, to not be where it needs to be also to get the wins?
Well, you're right. I think we had, 10 yards or something like that. But, to be able to run the ball and get some explosive passes is important. But we had the lead in the fourth quarter like we wanted. And then it's really, we got to take shared responsibility. All three units got to be on their game in order for us to win, and we weren't.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Gus Bradley outside of the Jaguars locker room will come back. Jeff Lagerman goes inside. More with Fred Taylor. Mike Dempsey coming up. Final score 25-16. Vikings improved to 7-6. The Jaguars have dropped their eighth in a row to fall to 2-11. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. Final score 25-16. Vikings over the Jags. We go inside the locker room. Blake Bortles is with Jeff Lagerman.
All right. Thank you, JP. Blake, got to be tough, this football team. Eight consecutive losses. Been a long time since you've had a victory here in Jacksonville. Not easy, is it?
No, not at all. It's difficult, but, I think that, all you can do is put your head down, continue to work. Because it's I think and fully believe that the right people are in place. We just got to go win. We got to play better.
Offensively for you guys, some opportunities there in the ball game. Special teams-wise, plenty of opportunities that were lost. Defensively, they had an opportunity. So, really, this is another game you can say all three phases can be accountable.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, they would tell you that, each phase, they could have done things better and, had some missed ops as we did offensively. But I thought there were some good things. We didn't turn the ball over. I thought Marquise played a hell of a game. They were doing a lot of stuff to try and take A-Rob away, and Marquise did a good job stepping up and making some big plays.
What next for this football team?
Yeah, I think just continue to keep working. That's all you can do. Watch this, you know, learn from this tomorrow, move on, and get ready. You know, I think we got a cool opportunity to go play three divisional opponents. You know, as they're all fighting to win the division, we get a chance to go play them and hopefully beat all three of them.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Appreciate it.
Blake Bortles inside the Jags locker room with Jeff Lagerman. Final score 25-16. Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey back with us. The quarterback stats today, if you want to go stats, 23 of 37, 257, a touchdown, 91 rating and change for Blake. There were some balls high, you know, that's been a little bit of an issue throughout the season, but some of those today. Overall, what'd you make of Blake's performance?
I'm looking at the turnover column or interception column. I don't see a turnover.
That's right.
So, I mean, for me, I'll take that all day. He didn't hurt the team, you know. Maybe a C. I got a text from a friend. Said, Fred, you got to give him an F today. You can't give him a C. But as long as Blake's not, he's not out there fumbling or throwing turnovers, picks, we can fight with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say an F, certainly. I mean, the one near interception was a ball he got crushed on as he delivered it, you know, and that just came out wobbly, and that really wasn't on him at that time, and Allen Robinson able to break that up. You know, Marquise Lee bailed him out with a couple of really nice catches today.
Catch,
but
right.
You know what? You got to have to get some of that out of your wide receivers if you're going to put up good numbers in the National Football League. He was just okay, you know, but didn't hurt them, just didn't do enough, as the guys pointed out on the game broadcast. Once he threw that touchdown to Walters, which was a great throw, you know, simple throw, but a delivered ball. They really didn't do anything offensively from that point on.
Yeah, back-to-back three and outs and then a blocked field goal.
Right.
Those are the last three drives. And that's not going to get it done for this Jaguars offense. Now, you know, first half, they had the back-to-back three and outs to start the game, and then they got some field goal drives going, and then the back-to-back three and outs to close out the ball game. When, you know, you're coming off a – they just gave up a touchdown to give up the lead, 18-16. They go three and out. Then they got the fumble at the goal line. Another three and out after that. There was just no movement at all in key times when you needed to get something going, and there was just no way to get it started today.
No, didn't have a rhythm, you know, consistently enough. And, yeah, you know, unfortunately for this team, every scoring opportunity they have to capitalize on. When Jason Myers misses a 41-yard field goal, put him a little bit off schedule. I mean, I'm not, you know, Myers doesn't have to be perfect every single kick, but that's where this team is right now. If they're not perfect, and you let another team get up on you two scores, it's just too much to overcome.
Mike, no, I'm just looking at these possessions.
Am I reading your notes?
No, you're not. But I like to track possessions, and as you mentioned, they'll show good signs. You know, 10 plays, 92 yards, a field goal, missed field goal after 9 play, 52, and then 11 play, 90, and a touchdown, the block punt, then they just vanish. You know, but the consistency is never really there. And I think that's, you know, obviously what makes them not a good offense when they're not turning the ball over. But I think they have to find a way to play a little bit better complementary ball. And as Blake said, I think to finish the year off, you have an opportunity to play three divisional opponents. So, I mean, you're going to face these teams twice a year, every single year. So, I mean, you go play spoiler and see what the guys can do out there. We saw some good signs. I mean, I keep saying evaluate. And Marquise, man, he's sharp. Continue to see some of that. Continue to put guys in position to see what moves you're going to make in the offseason. And that's the most positive stuff I can find out of what's going on out there.
We'll come back and get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Fred Taylor. Final score of 25-16. Vikings over the Jaguars in Week 14. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. 25-16, the final. The Vikings improved to 7-6. The Jags fall to 2-11 with their eighth consecutive loss. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Freddie T. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. We start off with Marquise Lee. We finished the last segment talking about number 11. Could you consider him the Jags' number one receiver right now?
Yeah. Haven't seen A-Rob in a couple weeks.
All right, there you go. On defense, Fred, for the Jaguars. Question number two, way too many explosive plays from a team that doesn't typically provide that many in Minnesota. How'd that happen today?
Minnesota went in, they saw something. You know, they got the ball to their playmakers, and they did enough to get the win today.
Finally, Fred, three division games to go for the season. If you could, how many do the Jaguars win?
Oh, let's see. I don't know how fast I can answer this one, but you stumped me.
I put
with
you
that
on the
one.
Spot. Didn't
you
I?
Stumped me. It's gonna be tough. I pray they win one.
Which one's the most likely one? Is it the home game, just because it's at home?
I would have to go with the Colts only because they beat them already.
Yeah.
You know, pretty, and that was really on the road.
Right.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. A home game in Europe. Let's say.
In Europe, right.
So there you have it. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. You know, yeah, Marquise Lee, what a day for the Jags receiver today. Over 100 yards, 113 right. yards, 5 catches on 8 targets. Meanwhile, Allen Robinson, 3 targets, 1 catch, 17 yards today.
Yeah, it's been rough for A-Rob the past couple weeks. I mean, you know, they're beating him up at the line. He hadn't been getting the calls, playing physical, but the separation really isn't there. A lot of back shoulder stuff. Teams are figuring it out. You know, this is what they see you as a player when they watch film. Just sit back and play with him at the line. He's not going to outrun you, but he is a big guy. Just get physical with him. But, Marquise, you know, he did something only Jimmy Smith, the only other receiver in Jaguars history against the Vikings to go over 100 yards, and he did it on Jimmy Smith day. So nice. That's a big thing for Marquise.
Not too shabby.
Yeah,
I think Fred's right. I mean, we heard Tony and Jeff talk about lack of separation for A-Rob in the pregame. And Marquise Lee, not only the 5 catches, but 2 of them were really spectacular grabs today. So he is really coming into his own right now, and I think – you know, likely the offensive MVP of this football team through 13 games.
He was catching him out of bounds. He was just catching everything.
Yeah, he was.
Well, we'll come back and get to the highlights. We'll find the Bud Light play of the game as well. Final score in week 14, 25-16. The Vikings with a win over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score 25-16. The Vikings now 7-6 with a win over the Jaguars and fall to 2-11 with their 8th consecutive loss. Now time to get to the highlights of the game. We'll find a Bud Light play of the game as well. Field goal fest early. Forbathit, a couple of field goals early, made it 6-0 Minnesota. And then the Jags got on the board. Myers from 45 yards away. Everybody's eating free subs. That's good news. 6-3. Warbath hit another one. Made it 9-3. Myers from 55 yards drilled it. Made it 9-6. Then the Jaguars were down with their back against the wall at the goal line with the Vikings driving. It was the 9th play of the drive. They went 74 yards to get down to the 1-yard line. The Jags defense on 4th down makes a stand.
It's an offset eye. 3 tight ends. Here we go. Bradford gives to Asiata. He's hit in the backfield. He's not going to get there. The Jaguars tackle him at the 1-yard line, and the Jags are going to take over on down.
Sanderek Barks with a fantastic play on 4th down. The Jags get a field goal out of it before halftime. 92-yard drive, by the way. Tied the game 9-9 at halftime. Well, the Jags missed a field goal, their opening drive of the second half from 41. Another field goal for Minnesota, 12-9 at that point. Then the Jags go down the field, 11 plays, 90 yards, Bortles to Walters. This is the Bud Light play of the game.
Bunch formation to the right. A-Rob gun for Bortles. He drops the throw, fires to the middle of the field. That ball is caught by Brian Walters for the touchdown. And Jacksonville has taken the lead on the touchdown pass from Bortles to Brian Walters.
16-12 the score at that point. The Jags feeling pretty good about themselves, but the Jags defense couldn't hold. Next drive, 9 plays, 62 yards and 4.5 minutes. The running back in from a yard out for Minnesota.
First and goal at the 1.5 yard line. Asiata back in as a tailback. They hand it to him out of the I formation. He lowers his shoulder, keeps those legs driving. Asiata into the end zone for the touchdown for Minnesota.
Extra point, no good. After a false start, moved him back 5 yards. So 18-16 the score, but the Jags offense couldn't answer. They go 3 and out. The Jags defense is up against the goal line again. This time, finally, a takeaway for the Jaguars.
Third and goal from the one here. High formation. Asiata, the running back. They give it to Asiata again. The Jags stack him. Can they hold him out of there? Second effort. They have kept him out of the end zone again.
The ball is loose.
The ball came out at the very end of the play now. The Jags are pointing that it's theirs.
It was theirs. It was a fumble. It was reviewed and upheld. But the Jags offense, again, couldn't do anything with it. Three and out for the second consecutive time. Then the killer at the end. Bradford to Rudolph to make it a two-score game.
Second down from the three-yard line. Play fake. Bradford rolls to the right. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Same play they ran a moment ago. He rolled out right and hit Kyle Rudolph for the three-yard touchdown with 2:13 to play in the ballgame.
That's how it happened, 25-16. The Bortles to Walters touchdown, the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. When we return, the Everbank Stats Check. More Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well. Final score of 25-16. The Vikings beat the Jaguars in Week 14. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues after a Jaguars loss in Week 14. 25-16 the final score. The Minnesota Vikings improved to 7-6. The Jaguars fall to 2-11. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. You cringed, Fred, when I said that. I noticed.
2-11 is ugly. I don't care what anyone says. I'd rather be 0-13 at this. 2-11 is just a tease.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
It's just ugly. Yeah, I don't know. Well, a few of the old guys out there, we were saying maybe we can put a roster together and win four games at this point in the season.
Ooh. I know you can still bring it.
I got a little bit, but I don't know what will happen the following week.
We need a roster of about 250 guys because they could each give you about two drives. If you space them out, they'd be two really good drives. So you just got to shuffle them in and out a lot. That's what I think.
And a lot of Advil.
Something.
Who else is in playing shape of your group, by the way, before we move along?
I mean, I think our linebackers are ready. Aiken Adell, TJ Slaughter, they're ripped out. These guys, I'm like, what are you guys doing these days? Eating weights? A lot of guys out there look pretty good. We can move Sofa from tight end to maybe left guard.
Garrard looks like he could play linebacker these days.
Or maybe fullback.
Something like that, right? Yeah. Donovan's in great shape.
Long
McManus
snapper.
Is in great shape. The defense, I think we'd have a pretty stout defense. Put it all together.
Pretty good team out there. Stu looks good.
Yeah?
Some good stuff out
Freddie
there.
Freddie T will give you a little run.
But no, these young guys, they'll run circles around us. We can't be foolish. Yeah.
So let's get to the player of the game for the Jaguars Radio Network today. 25-16 the final. Yes, we know that. But we each and every week pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game anyway. I get a vote. Mike gets a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half. I think it's probably pretty easy today, fellas. What do you say, Fred?
I'm going to go with Marquise Lee. Spoke to him before the game. Told him just keep it up. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. I'm impressed by the improvement on a week-to-week basis.
I'm right there with him. A good run after the catch today. Mm-hmm. And, ability to high point the ball. He went on the last one where he caught it and did a kind of a split in midair, came down with that first foot. That was really impressive. Yeah, Marquise Lee, he's been the best receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars this season and averaged over 22 yards a catch. Easy call today.
Yeah, 8 targets, 5 receptions, 113 yards, 22.6 average, a long of 39. Oh, and yeah, he's the kickoff returner too, and he's done pretty well in that role for the Jaguars. It is a unanimous decision today. He is the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game, Marquise Lee, with a fantastic day for the Jags. Unfortunately, in a losing effort today. 25-16. We'll return with the injury report. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score of 25-16. The Vikings over the Jaguars. Vikings 7-6. Jaguars 2-11. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. At least that we know of, nothing too notable today. Kelvin Beachum was out for a moment but came back into the ball game. Looked like he was favoring that knee, which he's still not fully recovered from, by the way. That's still work in progress. It's a little over a year since it happened. Well, a little further over a year since it happened now. Marquise Lee was out and obviously came back in and had a fantastic day. Other than that, I can't remember any big notables going down today.
No, not today, Fred, but the problem is over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, you look at the injury report, you come in today, no Chris Ivory, no Denard Robinson, no Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick go on IR, right? No Brandon Linder. I mean, on and on and on. So they're already – you're lucky if you get through the game unscathed at this point because they're going deep right now, right, particularly on the offensive side.
And that's the NFL. I mean, it's late in the season. This is what you're going to get. The great thing about it, though, the guys that hadn't played early in the year, they're getting an opportunity right now. And I'm sure they're not complaining. You know, they're coming to work, licking their chops, wanting to get out there and play. And I keep going back to the blessing in disguise that it is for the front office. You get to evaluate the talent and start making decisions now. We got to be honest. There is no playoffs. You know, they have a lot of decisions they're making up front. So I think it's really a blessing in disguise for the young guys, for the organization, for everyone involved.
Yeah, Tyler Shatley made the start at center today. And even for a guy like him, he hasn't had a lot of playing time in his career here. It's a contract year for him.
Right.
He's restricted, I believe, but it's a big start for him.
Even
today.
Guys like, you know, like, true for Shatley, Cyprian, guys got to keep going out there, even though things aren't going great. It's a lot to play for. And just going back to it all, it looks the same. A lot of different bodies in there. You're not just getting blown out. You're still in the game. You're still fighting. So it means these guys have been coached fairly well. They've been paying attention in the meeting rooms, and they're getting out there and not necessarily missing a beat because you're not getting blown out while you're replacing bodies. You're not just doing enough to win.
We'll come back and preview next week's game. The Jaguars head to Houston to face the Houston Texans. We'll break that one down when we come back. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're in Jacksonville, the Scoreboard Show is next on our flagship station, 1010XL. Your calls are coming up. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. We'll get to next week's game and the final three games in the season coming up, but we touched on it briefly, but let's go into it a little bit more. This weekend, homecoming weekend, they called it, the Legends community. But what, over 60 guys are back, Fred? Is that right?
60 guys, man. It was good to see all those guys. So a lot of memories. Just looking at a guy, you say, oh, this is what he did, or this is what he did. A lot of stories at dinner last night. Kyle Brady, the infamous Mango. You guys, have you seen those skits?
I have not seen. He did Mango from Saturday Night Live. Right?
Yes, Saturday Night Live. Yeah, man.
And he is the last guy
that
if you know Kyle at all, that you would picture doing that.
Right. But I give you a quick visual. Harley Davidson coming through the locker room. Can I say jockstrap on the radio?
Sure, I think you just did. Yeah.
So with a jockstrap, nothing else but a jockstrap in a bucket of lollipops, tossing them out. So, I mean, with the Mango voice. And that's just one. So many. Well, it's a lot of stories. Big Sofa, you know, he's always around.
Yeah.
But Clint Ingram in town, Brian Iwu. Just it's great to see that the older guys mix with, you know, the guys that were here just a few years ago. And this comeback to support the weekend and support the team, and the outcome is always good. It's been good. Still growing.
For Jimmy on Saturday night, we know he got very emotional today. Did he get emotional last night, or did he hold it in?
You know, he was a tough guy last night, and I said, you're going to cry. I said, you're going to cry. He's like, man, I ain't crying. I ain't crying. And he 2 minutes crying, 1 minute speech, and he didn't get a chance to thank everybody. So I teased him when he came on the set up there today. But it just happens, man. It's an emotional game. You know, a lot of support from everyone. Once the fans get the cheering and chanting your name, you see your name up there, it allows you to put things in perspective on the hard work, what it took to get there, because that ain't easy. That's one piece. And then what he had to endure, you know, knowing that he had been waiting for a while. We all knew that he was deserving. But he had to endure a little bit more. But it's here. I told him you're home now. So good thing, good deal.
Yeah, we mentioned in the pregame, but Jimmy told us earlier this week that, you know, you get knocked down. And he did a lot of that to himself. He said, I've become a Pro Bowler at getting back up.
That's what he said.
You know, and that's a good way to look at it. You know, he said, look, I'll probably get knocked down again in my life like most people do. But you're right. The moment, I think the moment Jimmy lost it was when the curtain got pulled,
right?
And Shad counted down 3-2-1, and he saw his name, and it became real at that moment for him. And forget it; there was no hope for him.
He's right there, situated right next to his buddy, the guy who made it all possible, who helped him make it possible.
There you go.
So they look good on that side. I'm hanging out on the left side with the big fella who opened up a lot of holes for me. A lot of guys are well deserving, man. So be a good thing to see who the next guy is going to be.
So the next game for the Jaguars is in Houston, Texas, against the Texans, a team that is, well, don't look now, they're tied for first place, 7-6. They won today. They're tied with Tennessee atop the AFC South, and that's going to be quite a race down the stretch here. But Jaguars at Houston, never an easy place to play. And it's a Houston team that certainly needs a win, and they got one in a big way today. What do you make of the Jaguars and the Texans next week, Fred?
Well, they're circling the wagons, trying to bring it back up. I think the first time around, Houston had a few defensive guys that were out. Houston's still playing steady. They're playing. They've been in games. I think it'll be a good game. The Jags got a lot in front of them to try and go out there and steal one, and that's what we got to call it now, because they definitely will be the underdog. You want to try and disrupt. Somebody has to win the division, but I think if the team goes down there with a mindset, look, let's let these guys know, well, this year you beat us once, but we got to try and even a series for the season, and then we have to go and look forward to next year, whatever that may be. So you have to go down there and try and handle business.
Yeah, next 3 weeks, it's like that. Houston, and then home against Tennessee on Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Day at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Colts.
Yeah, Houston now 4-0 in the AFC South with their win over the Colts today. And they're a team that keeps you in the football game. The Jags stay in the football game. I don't think Houston's going to run and hide from them, but, you know, based on current trends, you would expect, as Fred said, the Jags, the distinct underdog going into this football game. So we'll see if they can pull the upset.
Right, let's try not to open the game with a pick six, and that'll sort of keep you in the fight.
That's generally a good idea.
That's a good point, Fred.
Any football team, any week you play.
Fred, well done. We'll talk to you later this week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Freddie T. By the way, JP, is that the coolest jacket you've seen?
Yeah,
we don't.
Awesome.
You have to earn that one.
Yeah.
The Legends community.
It'll just hand those out.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, our Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tyler Devitt and Linda Fortunato, producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Vikings 25, Jaguars 16 on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. 25-16, the final. The Vikings are now 7-6. The Jaguars are not. They're 2-11.
Oh.
They've lost 8 in a row.
Woo!
And a different way to do it today. Explosive plays given up on defense. 6 of them, I said 7 earlier, but one of those was a 5-yard catch with a 15-yard penalty on top that counted in that. So 6 plays of 20 yards or more given up today. Kickoff return, long one, didn't help matters. Penalties are back, and there you go.
And the defense, let's be frank, I mean, look, they've been the stronger part of this team all season long, JP, but it is a team game. Jags offense gave the team the lead with about 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. And, you know, in recent weeks, we've seen that defense get 3-and-out after 3-and-out after 3-and-out, keep giving the offense the opportunities, and the offense hasn't been able to respond. This time around, the defense couldn't do that, and Minnesota was able to score 13 fourth-quarter points, which for them qualifies as just a breakout game. I mean, really, not one of the worst offenses in the league, quite frankly, and the fact that they clearly saw some things on tape today. As Fred pointed out, there were some things that they schemed. Getting Kyle Rudolph right out of the box, you know, I think most people anticipate, well, Minnesota's going to do what they do. They're going to throw those balls within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They're going to methodically, you know, just try to beat you down the field, 5 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, what have you. And they took their shots today, and they were successful on enough of them to loosen things up. You know, and every time they put a field goal on the board, you know the way the offense has been challenged for the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to be a long day. They were in it. They had their chances, but we've sung that song too many times over the last 8 games in which they've lost all of them.
Especially over the last 6 when they've been really close
right.
in games.
Right, yeah, the yeah. Oakland and the Tennessee games back-to-back,
yeah.
not really much of a shot in either one of those. But, yeah, the last month and a half, they've been right there. But, you know, right there is not good enough in the NFL. They know that. It is where they are. You know, they're a team that finds a different way to let down every week, unfortunately. You know, they're not looking to do that, but that's been the result. You know, Blake Bortles played efficient football today. Not spectacular, but didn't turn it over. Right? And they moved the ball. Myers, you know, missed the 41-yarder, made the rest of his kicks that mattered. The 61-yarder's kind of, you know, I don't really hold that against the guy. You're in a situation where you're trying to get a miracle, kick that field goal franchise long, and then get an onside kick. Then go down and score only your second touchdown on the day. Good luck. That, you know, so that one I'm not going to hold against him. But, you know, again, got a bad Nortman punt in there. You got a
deflected punt as well.
A couple of them. So, you know, coverage issues once again on special teams. It's a collective thing. Some things have been consistent. They keep popping up. Others, it just seems like, you know, they just have that one key letdown. Today, the penalties, the 14 for 114, I thought were several of them just awful timing on them.
There was a delay of a game on a kickoff.
A delay of game on a kickoff. Look, it's bad enough when you get a delay of game coming out of a timeout. We see it when you're on offense. Here's a kickoff. What in the world are you discussing?
There had to be somebody on late or in the wrong something.
Which should never happen.
You don't want to burn a timeout in that situation.
Right.
I guess.
You're coming out of a timeout, right? You're in with a TV timeout. I think they had a TV timeout at that moment, if I'm not
mistaken.
Either
way, it's a stoppage in play.
Right.
So.
You got plenty of time. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for all. What do they have? 5 false starts today, right? So. A bunch of different guys. One time the quarterback apparently forgot the snap count.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not to put it all on Blake because he was only one of those 5.
They spread them out today.
You know, and on top of that, the Jags actually got some calls correctly that went in their favor today, ones that we haven't seen.
The pass interference.
Pass interference on Allen Robinson, pass interference on Marquise Lee, and both of those were legit calls. The one on Robinson was huge because you're coming off third down basically out of the shadow of your own goal line. That's a chunk play no matter how you get it, and the Jags were able to drive 92 yards. But then what they do is they poorly manage the clock, right? I mean, with 52 seconds left, they snap the ball. They run a play to Yeldon that I think loses 4 yards, and they have all 3 of their timeouts. You're under a minute left. You got to call one in that circumstance. I think we were both calling for it at the time. As it turned out, they went for it. You know, they kicked the field goal on fourth down, so you can argue it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But it gives you more options if you got a little bit more time. You're not as rushed. You know, so again, when you're a team that is on an 8-game losing streak, there are probably a lot of fingers to point in a lot of directions, and today was one of those days.
When it rains, it pours, and boy, is it pouring right now for the Jaguars. The final score, 25-16. We'll get your thoughts about it. I'm sure it'll be a mixed bag. Well, probably not. A lot of angry folks.
You know what?
I'm guessing.
We'll find out. Well, hopefully there'll be some who at least enjoyed, you know, the reunion tour with Jimmy Smith coming in town and all the alumni here today. So,
355-NFL-1, the number. We'll get to your calls when we come back. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Jaguars fall today in Week 14. 25-16, the final. The Vikings improved to 7-6. Jags are 2-11. Seeing that this is the Scoreboard Show, how about some scores? The 49ers have a lead over the Jets late in the first half. 17-3 is the score. The Niners are 1-11 entering today. The Jets are 3-9. They're not too far behind them. 8 minutes to go in the second quarter in Green Bay. The Packers over the Seahawks, 14-3. 10 minutes left, second quarter in Los Angeles. The Falcons lead the Rams 14-0, and 8 minutes to go, second quarter in Tampa. where the Buccaneers lead the Saints 13-0. Tonight, Cowboys Giants on Sunday night, and then Monday it's the Ravens at the Patriots.
And certainly there'll be some savvy Jaguar fans out there really honing in on that San Francisco-New York Jets score, because if the Niners win, as you said, JP, they get their second win of the year. And based on strength of schedule, the Jags may move ahead of them in the projected draft order if that result holds up. Both of those teams really bad right now, but the Jets look like they flat out quit against Indianapolis, and based on the quick 14-0 start San Fran got out to today, it seems like that's continued at least into week 14.
All these D words make me another D word, depressed, talking about the draft with 3 weeks to go.
There you go.
Not good.
All right. By the way, several people calling up off line today saying the ceremony was fantastic. Didn't want to hang on. If you want to call in and discuss or any aspect of Jaguar football, 355-NFL1. Let's get Todd up first today, just leaving the stadium area. What's up, Todd? How are you?
Hey, guys. Horrible, horrible, horrible. What do you do? Well, I don't, you know, you said Bortles is efficient. He can't throw a spiral. They're bad. There's no answer. What do you do?
Keep playing the next three weeks, I guess. Yeah. I mean, if you're asking, what do you do about Bortles? Bortles was efficient today.
Playing him? Our young rookie draft pick? Do you try him? Our third string quarterback? What do you do? It's bad.
You know,
it gets old. I sit in the sea of Vikings. I sit in the sea of opposing fans.
Do you think it's going to change? You think it's going to change if Brandon Allen's at quarterback?
Frustrating, very frustrating.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it is. And I can kind of see that perspective. Okay, let's put him out there, put the kid out there, see what happens.
If they want to do that, I have no problem with that. They see everybody in practice every single week, right? I don't. It's not going to happen, okay? It's just not, in my estimation, because they're not losing by 28 points every week, right? He did – Today he was efficient. He had a 90-something quarterback rating. I'm not saying he was great, because statistics can lie. I thought he threw the ball decently today. The worst looking pass occurred when he got hit as he released it, the one that was almost intercepted, and Allen Robinson kind of broke that play up. This is the way I've looked at it, because this issue has come up on Jaguars Today many, many times over the last few weeks. The coaching staff sees Brandon Allen every single week. They have not even elevated him to the backup status yet, right? He's taken no reps. He's getting scout team reps. They didn't want to play their third overall pick his rookie season. Here you've got a guy who's a sixth-rounder who they knew was going to take a lot of development. Again, they see him. If they were to say, hey, we're going to give Brandon Allen a start, I would not fault that one bit. I don't expect that to happen, and – until I at least see him move up into the game day backup role, I don't think he's going to leapfrog all the way to the starting role for this team down the stretch. I get the logic. Let's see what we got. Blake's struggling, but the GM believes in Blake Bortles. He selected him. The GM is a lot more likely to be here than the coaching staff. Let's be frank about that. You know, going forward, that's no guarantee for either of those groups. But I think he's going to have more sway in terms of, you know, the direction the quarterback position goes right now than anything else, quite frankly. You know, Todd, thank you for the call. Let's get David on the west side up next here on the post-game show. Hi, David.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man.
I've changed my mind. You know, I've been so frustrated, you know, just aggravated, you know, thinking – I know Gus is a good coach. I understand that. But just sometimes – coaches just don't equate to be a good head coach. He just doesn't. He just looks dumbfounded on the sidelines. He does not make. He just looks like he does not have things under control on the sidelines. Like he just keep making stupid decisions. You know, when we make a dumb mistake, make a great play and then we'll make a dumb play. That's lack of discipline, and that's what it boils down to. Just frustrated. I just wish this season was over.
Okay, David.
Well, 3 weeks away from that.
It's coming soon. Look, I mean, Gus Bradley has had success as a defense coordinator. There's no arguing the record. You are, as a head coach, that's what you're judged on, period, your record. 14-47 now. He's going to go down, JP, with, if not the worst, one of the handful of worst winning percentages for any coach who's coached as many games as he has, likely the worst. And quite frankly, it may be a record that gets put out of reach unless he gets another head coaching gig and can turn that around. Because quite frankly, how many guys, having won as few games as he did in his first 3 years, would ever get a fourth year? A lot of guys wouldn't have got a second year. A third year after the first couple of seasons that he had, no matter the circumstances that he came into. So, look, there's no question about it. The results speak for themselves as far as Gus goes. And it's hard to argue. I mean, you can't say he's a good head coach. The results speak otherwise. He may be good in terms of having his players play hard and not quit on him and things like that, but that's the bottom line. You're hired to win football games, and the results simply have not been there for the Jags.
The Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. 355-NFL-1. That's the number. The Scoreboard Show continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
J.P. Chadwick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show rolls along. Final score, 25-16, Vikings over the Jaguars in Week 14. Couple other scores from earlier games today. The Steelers, boy, Le'Veon Bell, what a day for the Steelers running back.
I think he had a 298 total yardage today, oh, wow. If I'm not mistaken.
They beat the Bills 27-20. Could that be it for Rex? That was Jason LaCanfora today saying that he could be fired as early as Monday if they lost the game today.
It's definitely it for anyone who's playing against Le'Veon Bell in their fantasy playoffs.
Got that right. The Texans beat the Colts 22-17 in the AFC South. And, of course, the Jags get the Houston Texans next week. And the Titans beat the Broncos to improve to 7-6, 13-10 the final score. That's a big blow for the Broncos. Their stretch run is unbelievably tough for the Patriots. The Raiders and the Chiefs, three in a row to finish out the season in Denver.
And with Miami winning, they're both 8-5, but Miami loses Ryan Tannehill to a torn ACL, It looks like. Took a shot right on the knee. It's brutal out there, JP. I don't think we're tough enough. I think we got the right job.
I'm not. Yeah,
I think we're sitting in the right seat.
I'm perfectly happy in this heated, padded room. Here.
Right on. The padded. We need a padded room. Let's get Cole up next at 355-NFL-1, just leaving the stadium. In the last few minutes, hi Cole.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good man.
I wanted to give a shout out to you guys. I think it was Thursday during one of your afternoon shows. A gentleman named Stanton called us wanting to get rid of a pair of tickets to active duty military guy. I ended up calling up, getting a pair of his tickets. Took my son to his first game. We had a great time. Brought us to the product on the field. I think the Jags do a great job making a good fan experience, and I just wanted to call and thank you guys and the Jags.
Well, thank you, man. It's That's a awesome. Guy named Stanford who wanted to make sure an active-duty military person got him. Cole is in the Coast Guard, so we salute you, Cole, for your Sweet. Service and all your fellow Coast Guardians.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know, but I thought that's pretty nice of him to call up and say, you know what,
really
despite
cool.
the result, it was a good experience for him and his kid. That's Jaguar fans helping Jaguar fans
I'm
right
glad
there.
Glad they had a great day today. It was a good day for it.
It's a beautiful day anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric and Argyle next up at 355-NFL-1. Hi, Eric.
How's it going today?
Good, man.
Doing well. What's up?
It feels like we're in the games and we're always doing what we can do. The players are out there playing their heart out, but we're just getting out-coached. Right after halftime, we had the momentum. We're about to possibly score, and it almost feels like we settled for the field goal. It's not like they're even trying to jump ahead, get the ball back at halftime, and go downfield and score again. It's frustrating that defense is doing what they have to do and the offense isn't producing right now.
No question, it is frustrating,
yeah,
man.
That before half sequence with the clock running down and all that is going to be interesting to hear what Gus has to say about that tomorrow in his mindset. I'm sure there was a reason why. He was letting it run like he did.
Yeah, Maybe. Look, Minnesota's not an explosive offense. Despite the explosive plays they got today, I don't fear leaving them 30 or 40 seconds on the clock at the end of the half. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think
and you trust your defense. Too. They've been playing pretty well most of the
certainly.
Year.
Certainly. Right? For the one play in particular, I mean, that is, to me, that's a coaching decision. You 52 seconds left, you throw a screen to T.J. Yeldon, he loses 4 yards, and then tick, 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 and you get the next playoff with 26 seconds left. So you've literally wasted half of your available time left when you had 3 timeouts. That was not a not a good decision there. Let's get Ben and Jack's Beach up next before we break here at 355-6351. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good,
doing
man.
Well.
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to first say, Mr. Logman, my daughter's 19 years old, and she saw small snippets of you on YouTube that I've showed her, and she's a big Jeff Logman fan.
All right.
We'll pass it along.
We'll absolutely tell him about that.
Awesome.
And I miss those days quite a bit, and my question is that I have such a problem because I was a big Blake Bortles fan for the last couple of years, and it's just gotten so disappointing to the point of where do you actually have to draw the line of where to cut it off? Where do you, like, stop the bleeding?
Yeah, where's the point?
It's been the most discussed topic, yes. I think, over the last month or so. Is there a line? Is there a point now? Does it benefit you to try to, quote-unquote, stop the bleeding in this final month of the season? And there are two reasonable schools of thought. I think reasonable people can disagree on that. Some people are going to say, let him ride it out. This is a guy you have so much invested in. It's the third overall pick. You've spent so much time trying to bring him to this point. Try to end the season on a high note. Even if you bring in competition at QB, let's have some, you know, if you bench him now, no matter what Brandon Allen or Chad Henne do coming in here, you know, Bortles is going to go into the offseason in a completely different mindset. If you think he's salvageable, and I'm talking about the organization, if they think he is, I think the right thing to do is to play him right now. That's my opinion. I can understand how people disagree with that. And, I don't think it's an unreasonable position to say, clearly, we're not winning games. We've lost 8 in a row. What are we benefiting from this? And that is the one benefit, is to let him continue to try to work his way into a better end of season than he's had up to this point.
And today is an example of that. Played better today. Didn't turn it over. Was fairly efficient. Didn't light up the stat sheet or anything.
Right.
Wasn't a bad day for him, and it was a decent day for
it. Was decent,
a step,
right?
In the right direction.
It was decent, but it's got to be better than decent. Yeah, we recognize that.
I agree with that.
We absolutely. Yeah. Now, you know, there's some mitigating circumstances when you look at Julius Thomas going on IR, but he's been without him for a few weeks. Hearns out, Ivory out, Denard out, so you're limited in your personnel offensively. But look at Minnesota today, all right? You think they're going to shed a tear for you? They've lost both their offensive tackles. They lost Adrian Peterson. They're playing with a guy they traded for at quarterback right before the season started. They don't have any real explosive playmakers on offense, and yet they found a way. They adapt to that style. They protect the football for the most part. They had the one turnover today at the goal line, and they have won 7 football games this year. It hasn't been great lately. You know, they got off to that 5-0 start, but boy, would you take 7-6 right now? Because 7-6, you'd be tied for the division lead. So
I would take that.
Yeah, we would all take 7-6 right now. Thank you for the call, Ben. We got to take a timeout here, JP.
We'll come back for more of your calls. 355-NFL1, the number 355-6351. A couple of segments left in the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. Jamie Shadrick with Mike Dempsey.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. 25-16 the final. The Minnesota Vikings with a win over the Jaguars in week 14. 355-NFL-1 the number. 355-6351. A couple of scores going on now. Halftime, Niners lead the Jets 17-3. Packers over the Seahawks 21-3, two-minute warning. 3 minutes and a half in L.A., Falcons up 21-0 without Julio Jones today. And the Bucs lead the Saints 13-5?
13-5. Yeah. They got a safety there, yep. The Saints' offense has gone into a bit of a shell, and the Bucs' defense over the last several weeks has played really, really well.
By the way, the Vikings would be the second team out if it ended today, if it ended right now, by the way, because the Falcons – lead the NFC South.
Right.
The Buccaneers have a wild card at this moment, at least, and then so do the New York Giants.
And Washington's ahead of Minnesota as well, because they had a tie.
7-5-1.
And they had a comeback win today. They gave up the lead late to Philadelphia.
So they didn't get much help today, the Vikings. I mean, they had to win.
Didn't really get any help. No, yeah. I don't think anybody helped them out. And Green Bay up big, as you mentioned, 21-3 over Seattle. It's a little surprising, not that they're winning, but that the margin is what it is right now. I think they would be dangerous if they get in the postseason. It's still an uphill climb down the stretch here, because Detroit just Doesn't seem like they are interested in losing games, man. They just, you know.
Doesn't matter how far they're down.
They junked it up against the Bears today. Chicago had a lead pretty late in the second half, and the Bears are awful.
On a pick six, too.
On a pick six, right. The Bears were playing without Alshon Jeffrey, who's suspended, without Eddie Royal, who's injured, without Marquise Wilson, who's injured.
Yeah.
So you got a guy named Cameron Meredith, who's, you know, emerged a little bit this year, but they've got no one to speak of. Zach Miller, their starting tight end, done for the year on IR. They're down to their third quarterback, right, and Matt Barkley, and they hung around with them. Detroit doesn't put you away, but they win football games, so yep. Getting it done. All right, 355 NFL 1. Let's get out to Lee and Oakleaf up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lee. Hello, Lee. All right, no Lee?
Oh, by the way, I meant to say this when we came back. The Jimmy Smith induction ceremony will be on Jaguars.com coming up soon. The boys are working on it right now.
Getting it all edited up.
Yeah.
Nice and sharp.
Not sure exactly when, but keep an eye on Jaguars.com if you missed it or were doing something else during halftime.
Just want to see it again. Yeah. All right, let's try Lucas in Gainesville up next. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, fellas. You know, I know a lot of people still getting upset and stuff like that, and I do think it would be interesting to see, you know, what Brandon Allen has, but I don't think that's our biggest issue. I think we got to bring in some competition for next season for Bortles, bring in an offensive-minded coach, because our defense is so good. We have so much talent on our defense that has to be the real positive of the season, that, you know, we found out we got a lot of good players on the defense, and if the offense was halfway serviceable, we'd probably be contending for the division right now.
I appreciate the call. The one thing missing on defense is the pass rush. Yeah, they gave up some splash plays today, some explosives. That's
that
not ideal.
Been pretty good.
But they've been good. That,
pretty
the
good.
Pass rush, a consistent pass rush, is the thing missing. How weird is it though? They finally get to the quarterback. Force a fumble. It goes back to him, and he throws a completion.
Bradford just picks it up off the ground, calm as day, right? And
of all things,
and completes a pass when you have what should be a sack fumble created by Yannick Ngakoue. Nice play by him, you know, going for the ball. My one comment to Lucas is, you know, common sense indicates that he's right. The defense looks like it has a good, a very good young nucleus.
Yeah, sure.
We thought the offense had a very good young nucleus coming into the season, right?
Yeah,
and we thought
true.
They were ahead of the defense, and we thought, well, with the natural progression of the offense, you know, lose some of those turnovers. Some of these guys, you know, Allen Robinson's numbers might not be what they were last year, but clearly you got a couple of guys capable of being 1,000-yard receivers, and who knows if Marquise Lee can give you anything and all this, and it just didn't work out for a variety of reasons. And now the defense, you feel that way about them like you kind of did about the offense last year, if only for the other side of the ball. So I hope that Lucas is right. I mean, again, common sense indicates, and we talked about this, JP, the quarterback, if the quarterback's not playing well, it can bring the whole offense down. It's difficult to find that on defense, you know, to have that one guy,
yeah,
if he's off, he's
right,
generally not going to wreck the entire scheme. Sometimes you get a corner out there who's in over his head and he gets picked on and things like that, but for the most part, the defense is more of a unit, and
that's a good point.
You hope that, you know, they're less prone to slumping than the offense would be. So
I agree.
Let's get Darren and Mandarin up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Darren. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Real quick, you and JP do a great job, but Mike, you're probably the most realistic out of all those sports talk radio hosts in Jacksonville. I mean it sincerely. You know, I hope that they don't try and serve up some of this same Kool-Aid next preseason and how great they look. And I'm not drinking it next year. I'm not during the preseason. I'm just, you know, they try and take the pink and paint it up and put lipstick on it. This year they've added a little something to it the last 3 years. It's obviously that Gus Bradley does not think that Allen is any kind of possible answer, and he's going down with the ship with Bortles and not even bringing in somebody else to take a look at, seeing at when we're at a, you know, 2-11 season. And so I want to know, you know, Mike, what you think. What is the Jags going to do to fix some of these plugs? Because the coaching is a major issue, and I'm convinced of that 100%, because you don't have the kind of penalties that you constantly have, stupid penalties. I mean, the one that blew me up today was when Alau put his hand in there. I mean, just, you miss the tackle. The guy's going by, you just let it go and let the next man follow up and hit him. You know, that just, and then, and they bring in another kicker next year. you're about to wait for tryouts, and I'm going to get to listen to you.
I think Myers actually had a pretty good year. Yeah. He missed the 41-yarder, and he missed it pretty badly today. But the one he would have hit from 55?
Yeah.
I mean, crushed that. I don't think the kicker, I mean, I don't think that's what's cost him games primarily. I don't mind that penalty. That's a penalty of an aggression. How do you tell a guy?
You're talking about the
face mask? Yeah.
Know if it was a face mask.
He hit him in the face, and then the hand got on the shoulder. Let's say it was a face mask, okay? Let's say inadvertently grabbed it, turned the head. The guy's making a play. He's trying to make a play. It's very difficult to say, hey, just let him go and let the next guy get him. You're in the midst of the game. The ones that kill you are these false starts.
Yes.
I mean, delay a game on a kickoff, JP. Come on.
A 5-yard run on first down, then a false start to make it 2nd and 10, a high ball incompletion on 3rd down, and a punt.
Right.
You can't
function
like
that. They get a good run from Yeldon, and then they give it right back with a 5-yard penalty. You know, I mean, it was that. Those are the ones to me that absolutely eat you up. Penalties of aggression, you're going to get your hand caught in the wrong place. Tyson Alwall is trying to make a play. That one doesn't really bother me at all, quite frankly. But the result didn't make me happy, you know, giving up 15 yards, but you're just kind of like, that's a little bit of bad luck on that one compared to some of the other ones, which are completely within your control.
There was an illegal formation in there, too.
Right. I mean, those are the ones that you should have very little tolerance for. And, you know, how many, you know, we can go on the litany. There are 14 of them today to choose from.
Let's see. There was the personal foul on Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. It's kind of borderline. I mean, you know.
But it happened.
The whistle blew pretty quickly on that play, and at some point just let the guy go, and he didn't slam him. I think when he kind of picks him up, and if the guy doesn't lose his footing and go to the ground, it's not like he slammed him to the ground, but I think if he doesn't go down, you're not going to get that penalty. But I don't know
if I'm that guy, I'm going to the ground.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but that would be a savvy play if it was. Yes. It's things like that, like – you know, that one's more borderline, but again, it's kind of within your control because if you just let him go, you're not going to get that 15 yards.
Right. So there you have it.
All right.
We'll take a timeout.
Final timeout here.
One more segment, a couple more calls to get in. If you don't get in, 5th quarter, T-Wig and Hacker are standing by to take your calls, and that should be interesting this evening after a 25-16 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, the Scoreboard Show rolls along. 25-16 the final. Vikings win it over the Jaguars week 14. But I have some good news for you, Mike.
Oh, do you? I could use it.
It involves field goals for Firehouse.
Ah.
This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, he missed one today, but he had 3 good ones, and 2 of those would have qualified. You only get 1 free sub, though, a 45-yard field goal and a 55-yard field goal for Jason Myers. So if you're registered, enjoy.
Yeah, he also had the one blocked at the end. It's that goes on your stats.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's kind of, you know what it's kind of like, though? It's a little bit like a quarterback getting picked at the end of a half. When he throws a Hail Mary from midfield, you know.
It counts, but
it's not quite so much. I don't, you know, you got to try to kick that one a little bit lower. It's funny because Jason Myers has the leg where he hits that 55-yarder, right? You don't need to kick it any different on the 61-yard because he's kicking into the net on the 55-yarder, but it had a little bit of wind in his face. I mean, that was just a situation where they didn't think they could pick up a first down at that point. That's your only shot.
Got to get some points.
Right. You got to. It's a 2-score game, so you got to do it rather than, what are you going to do, just take a knee?
No, you're
not going to do that.
And neither are we on this show.
No,
we're going to take more calls.
Let's close strong here. We got Lee back in Oak Leaf. Let's get him up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lee. How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are y'all doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I was just calling. You know, I've been on, I guess, a franchise long fan of the Jags. You know, I'm from Jacksonville, born and raised here. I've gotten to the point, man, where, you know, it just makes me absolutely sick to watch the Jaguars. I honestly haven't been able to watch a game for about 8 weeks. I said to myself back then that I can't watch another Jaguars game until they replace the head coach, you know, and I was a real fan, and a champion of Gus all through the beginning, even through the first 3 years, and even through the beginning of the season. You know, I thought he was going to be the man, that he would bring some sort of winning culture to this organization, but unfortunately, it hasn't happened. My question, I guess, or point of the call would be, you know, there's head coaching position or jobs or people out there for head coaches out there, and I'm looking around at some of the names that are out there, and one of the names I look at is McDaniel, Josh McDaniel from New England. You know, I know he had a stint one time at first that I don't remember if it was pro or whatever, but it didn't work too well. You know, who do you guys see as being someone that the Jaguars really possibly can go out and get to bring a winning culture to this franchise? These fans here in Jacksonville and Northeast Florida deserve a winning franchise again. You know, that we've sat through all these lean years, all these horrible, horrible 3-and-something years, horrible offenses. Now we finally got a defense. I really believe we have the pieces in place in offense. We just need to get a coach and maybe a different scheme in here that's going to bring a winning culture. So, and I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call. I mean, who knows? I don't know. You see the list of coaching candidates that might be out there. You can go off that list.
I'll be quite honest with you. I know who I would make the first phone call to, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. I'd call the same guy 50 times until I force him to tell me no. If there's an opening, which I presume there will be, but until there is, I just think it's, you know, if I gave you a list of five names right now, it wouldn't change the landscape. It wouldn't mean that all of a sudden Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell could be out talking to these people right now. They know who they should be talking to, or at least they should be preparing a list. Dave Caldwell should be preparing an eventuality list of who he would like to target, because I suspect that's what's going to happen this offseason. That's presuming Dave Caldwell still has his job. We can't know that for sure either. You know, again, I'm not going to try to replace Gus Bradley until there's a vacancy as far as that goes. Trust me, I feel very strongly about who I would make my calls to if I were Shad Khan, Dave Caldwell, but I don't really see a whole lot of benefit.
It's not like
if I came up with a name right now, it's not like Shad Khan would go, we can get on that right away.
Eureka.
And, you know, I mean, you're going to hear Josh McDaniel's name in conjunction with a lot of openings. Couple of issues with Josh McDaniels. One, he's had one prior head coaching stint, and he was the guy who thought it was a good idea to stump for Tim Tebow in the first round. So, you know, you could – depends on which side of that argument you come down on, but that's not exactly the most glowing recommendation to me in terms of evaluating what you need at the professional level at the quarterback position. And secondly, what if New England makes that run to the Super Bowl, you know? Even if you talk to him early in the process, then he goes into that dark period where you can't have any communications with him. You may sit around waiting for a guy like that, and he may decide, you know what, I'm going to wait till a better opportunity comes up next year, or maybe I'm going to take some other opening this year. And then you get caught holding the bag a little bit as some other candidates take other positions. So it's a difficult spot to be in if you are chasing a coordinator on a team that has a chance to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this a lot after the season. Let's save a lot of that for them.
I get why fans are thinking about it now. And trust me, tune in as soon as the season's done, and we'll have, you know, based on circumstances, if in fact there's a vacancy, we'll have our wish list ready to roll. Let me get Luigi in Bartram Springs up next here. Hi, Luigi. How are you?
Hey, good evening, guys. Great day at the bank outside the loss. You know, the Jimmy Smith, my daughter's first football game, 4 years old. It was perfect weather. You know, the fans that come out, you know, whether these guys win or lose, they're always great to hang out with. I'm not going to try and deny any of this, constructive criticism, let's call it, of this team. It's a tough team to love. But there's one thing that I am going to pull out on the silver lining, and that is I'm in my seat most of the fourth quarter, and that has not been the case for a few years now. And I know it's not every game, but it's been most games this year at home. And to me, that, you know, that tells me something. Our defense is keeping us in games, and, you know, we and you and all of us have talked it to death. But, you know, I'm not leaving halfway through the third quarter or wanting to anymore. I'm there to see it, and they're right there. You know, it gives me some hope for next year. So there's a little positivity on spin on the whole thing, man.
I like that.
We'll end with that, and that's fine.
Glass is half full.
We don't know what everyone's going to talk about when they call in. I'll say this, though, let's be real today. there were a lot of people that were waiting to see Jimmy Smith get inducted, and then the turnstiles were moving out the door today. I mean, there was a heavy Vikings present to the point where you could hear the chant inside this studio of "Let's go Vikings." You could hear it through the broadcast as if it were a home game. So I'm glad that you feel that way, but I totally understand fans who say, you know what, just being competitive, we're past that point, JP. It's as Tyler Devitt pointed out the exact date to me, December 13th of last year was the last home victory you've seen here in Everbank. Thanks. And so it will be over a calendar year,
yeah, sure,
at the very least. Let's hope it doesn't go into next season. You got one more opportunity. Yeah. You haven't been paid off. Yeah, they're more competitive at home, but the end result is they haven't won a single home game, at least an Everbank home game.
And I will say the staff around here with the Jaguars have done a great job of making sure that that game day experience outside of the football is among the best, if not the best, in the National Football League. I haven't been to all stadiums, but that's what they've done the last 3 years, is try to build that up with the boards and everything going in on the south end zone. The Daly's Place is coming up, too, to help that.
No substitute for winning, though.
I agree with that, but controlling what they can on the business side, they've done a fantastic job.
They've done everything they could. They've done everything they could, but now you're starting to see,
you know, football games.
Yeah, you're starting to see hardcore fans not showing up and selling their tickets and things like that. And I'm not saying I blame them. You make your own decisions how to spend your time. You know this team's not going to the postseason. So, you know, you'd rather have a rundown stadium and a team on its way to 14-2. Right, you know, you'd rather have both. You'd rather have a team headed to the playoffs and match this game day experience, yeah, which they do on that side. The business side, they do a terrific job. But Jaguar fans know what the important thing to get done is, and that's the win loss column, quite frankly. And they haven't done a good job in that column. They've done a bad job.
Yeah,
in
fact.
Column.
And next week, the Houston Texans await down in Houston. Our coverage will start at 10:00 Sunday. We'll look forward to Jaguars today all week long. Mike, well done.
Yes, sir. 10 to noon. We'll see you then.
There he is, Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt, Linda Fortunato, Max Hockman. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Final score 25-16, the Vikings over the Jags. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.